Wonderful. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Psalm 78 as we stand to our feet. Quite a message in that song, wasn't it? Amen. Psalm 78, Psalm of Asaph. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them." We look at this and we're reminded somewhat of the scripture we read this morning, thinking about the generation to come. And I've preached on this passage before, the first part of it, about that the children may know and seeing our responsibility. And then we see the reason, because it's commanded by God, that the children can know and the children's children can know. And then we see the results in verses 7 and 8. But it says also in verse number 8 that they be not as their fathers, stubborn and rebellious, a generation that set not their heart aright. It talks about the children of Ephraim in verse number 9. The children of Ephraim were to be the leaders of the tribes of Israel. But if you'll go and you'll see them, they turned back in the day of battle. They forgot the God that was able. They forgot the God that brought them out of Egypt, brought them across dry ground, delivered them. They forgot about those things. They trusted in themselves. And then I don't want to preach on, let's never forget. Let's never forget. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the time we've already had, Lord, as we've been able to worship Thee already in spirit and truth in the music. And as we come to the time of the preaching, I pray that our hearts would be ready, Lord, to hear from Thee in these next few moments that we have together. I pray that Thy will be accomplished. Guide my thoughts. And Lord, tonight may we realize we're to never forget, but Lord, rather we're to remember Thy wonder, Thy majesty, Thy power. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for what You do. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Of course, in just a few moments, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is a time to remember. And we're to do it until the day the Lord returns. He says, as oft as you eat this bread, as oft as you drink this cup, this do you also in remembrance of me. I was thinking about that, about how this is a time of remembrance. And sometimes I think a time of remembrance just reminding ourselves there are some things we ought to never forget. With that thought in mind tonight, I want to give you just three things that we should never forget. First of all, let's never forget the Creator. Let's never forget the Creator. If you will, would you look with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12, and in verse number 1, as we see this wise writer coming down to the close of this book, where he said that all is vanity, vexation of spirit. And he says in chapter 12, verse number 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." We find in this passage of Scripture, Solomon's writing, and he's saying, while you're young, remember the days. Remember these things, and don't let the evil of this world come in. Well, tonight I declare unto us that we are to remember our Creator. I think sometimes we forget to remember how wonderful and how mighty and how great our God is. When we think about God as our Creator, we realize that He is our strength. For the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40 and verse number 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching for His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Tonight we find in the Bible that is teaching us that the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, never faints, neither is He weary. And tonight we need to get our strength from this everlasting God. We need to never forget who He is in His creation. We need to understand that He is the Creator, and He gives us the strength to live day by day. We see that the world may be falling apart around us. The young men may be getting weary, but the Bible says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Tonight, there's a lot of believers that are fainting. There's a lot of believers that are falling away from the things of God because they're wearying themselves by trying to live in their own strength. But we can't do this in our own strength. We must never forget the Creator and the fact that He created us, and it is He that will strengthen us. Where are we going to get our strength from? How are we going to make it through the battles? Well, we wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we look at this and wait, and we think that's sitting there twiddling their thumbs. That's not what the word wait means here. When you go to a restaurant, who comes to your table? A waiter? A waitress? What do? They wait upon you. That's what we're to be doing. We're to be doing what God wants us to be doing. We're to be serving the Lord. That's what this is talking about. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Think about it. So let's never forget our Creator, because He is our strength. Let's never forget our Creator and realize that we are to worship Him. I want you to turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Romans, chapter number 1 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. And this is what we're seeing happening in our world today. Creature worship. You know, people are more concerned about saving the whales than they are saving souls. And people are more about serving self than serving the Savior. We're the created beings. We're the creatures. And the problem is that we've got so much self-interest in the world today as a whole that we're worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And we can never forget that He is the Creator. And when we realize who He is and His power, His might, and His majesty, then we will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's never forget that. Let's never forget our daily lives is about what His will is for us. Let's never forget that the things that come along our way, that He's in control of it all. And sometimes, you know, I know it gets so difficult, and sometimes it's so hard to think about the next day or the next day or the next day. But the thing is our life is in the hands of the Lord. And if we'll worship Him and serve the Creator and not the creature, then we'll be doing what God wants us to do. Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he was talking about a people here that knew God, but they didn't glorify Him as God. He was talking about people here that we're living wicked lifestyles. You can read this whole chapter and you're going to see all kinds of people. And he puts all these, he puts these people where men have relationships with men and women have relationships with women. And in that same setting, he's writing and talking about people that worship the creature more than the Creator. It's all wicked and it's all vile. Tonight, let's never forget the Creator. And let's worship Him the way that He deserves to be worshiped. And let's worship Him because He's faithful. Notice what the Bible says once again in the New Testament, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, as we talk about the Creator tonight and not forgetting the Creator. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 19, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Now I think this verse strikes me as odd, but true. Do you realize that we may have to suffer according to the will of God? God, in His sovereignty, allows us to suffer sometimes. But He's faithful. And every time we have to suffer, He knows what He's doing. And He knows how He's molding our lives. And He knows how He has to guide us. If we never suffered, I don't think we'd ever see a need for Him. If we never had difficult decisions and difficult days, then we would never be calling upon the Lord. The song, Paul sung it, and then Missy sang it last week. You know, if I never had a problem, then I wouldn't know what faith could do. Through it all. And I was thinking about this as we're talking about never forgetting. What happened when he was talking there in Psalm 78? He said, "You have a responsibility that the generation to come might know the praises of God, His strength, His deliverance, His mercy, His wonder, His glory, His power, His majesty, His might, His blessed deliverance." And you have a responsibility to tell that generation so that the children may know, so that the children's children may know. He said, don't be as your fathers, stubborn and rebellious. Don't be like the children of Ephraim, whom God had proved Himself to. And yet they turn back in the day of battle, and they forget the works of God. And sometimes I think that's what happens in our life. We forget, but let's never forget. We forget what it was like when we were a sinner. We forget what it was like when we were on the road to hell. And we forget what it was like when we were in that desperate moment in our lives. And we forget what it was like when we felt like we weren't going to make it through another day. And God in His mercy and God in His grace, He saved us. God in His mercy and God in His grace, He brought us through the storm. God in His mercy and God in His grace put us down to the lowest of lows in our lives. But when we got down so low, it was there that He proved Himself to us. Let's never forget the Creator. Second thing we should never forget, in keeping with the service tonight, is let's never forget the cross. Let's never forget the cross. I want you to look with me in the Gospel of John. I know I'm all over the place tonight, but I hope you're getting the meaning of this. John chapter number 19 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then delivered He him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led Him away." And listen to this. "And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him, and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.'" We see that the Lord Jesus Christ was bearing His cross. And He went to this terrible place and died this terrible death. And as He was hanging on the cross, they continued to mock Him as they put a plaque over His head, not in honor of Him, but in mockery of Him. "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." He was the King, wasn't He? They didn't recognize it. He wasn't here to set up his kingdom. He was here to redeem a people. And it all happened at the cross of Calvary. We sing the song around here, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. See, it's the cross tonight that we must realize is the power of God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18, as Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Tonight I want you to understand that we must never forget the cross. For it is the cross that is the power of God. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those in the world, but to those of us that are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. It was at the cross where you nailed and you first saw the light. It was at the cross where all of your sins were washed away. It was at the cross where you saw the eyes of love as you've never seen the eyes of love before. There's been times I've looked into my lovely wife's eyes, and I knew that she had a love for me, and I knew that I had a love for her, and there's absolutely no doubt about it. You know, you get those looks. You know what every look means, too. Some of them's not so pleasant. I'm getting one of those now, like, don't go any further. Sometimes I just don't look, you know? But there's those looks that you get, and you look into each other's eyes sometimes, and you know what it means. There's sometimes unspoken words going between us through a simple look. But as much love as I've seen come out of her eyes towards me, I've never seen the love like I've seen in the eyes of Christ as He was hanging on the cross of Calvary. I wasn't there, but oh, God's allowed me to see Him, and He's allowed me to experience His love. I've thought about it as He looked out from the cross and He saw the multitudes of people around Him. And He said, "Father, forgive them." At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy. Don't forget the cross. That's why we're doing what we're going to be doing in just a few moments. So we're not going to forget what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. We're not going to forget that it is the power of God. We're not going to forget that it is the only thing that we have to glory in. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse number 14. Paul was writing and he said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." All we have to glory in tonight is the cross of Christ. Nothing else. I'm not going to heaven any other way than by what Jesus did on the cross. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. How do we become a new creature? By believing in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Nothing else to glory in. Another song that we sing is, "Jesus, keep me near the cross." Sometimes we need to bow afresh. We don't ever have to be saved again. But we need to be reminded of all that Jesus went through for us, that allowed us to be saved, that allowed us to have the eternal life that we have, that allowed us to experience the hope and the assurance, the promise of heaven. The cross is our peace, the Bible says. The Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." I have great peace tonight, because when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." I have peace. You know why? Everything that needed to be done for me to go to heaven, it's done. It's finished. Don't forget what happened at the cross. Never forget the cross. Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, they forgot all that God did to deliver them. And a lot of believers are walking around today forgetting all that God did to save them out of their sin. They've forgotten the Creator that created them, and now the Creator that has made a way for them to be redeemed and has redeemed them. Never forget the cross. The cross is our peace. The cross is our salvation. There's no doubt about it. The Bible says in the same book, Colossians 2, verse 14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." I love what the Bible says. He nailed the handwriting of ordinances. He nailed the things that caused us to be sinners. He nailed them to His cross, and He made a show of them openly. That's an amazing thing. Let's never forget the cross. The humiliation that Christ went through was so that we would never have to go through death and hell and defeat. You understand? Oh, there's going to be a day that this body's going to die, but I want you to know, my soul is never going to die. And I'm on my way to heaven. Never forget it. Never forget the Creator. Never forget the cross. And then finally tonight, never forget that He's coming. You want to make a difference in your life? If you'll think every day that Jesus is coming, and it could be today, it'll help you to live that day. I want you to notice what the Bible says one last time here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, as we see Paul writing to this church and telling them about the return of the Lord. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." We could go on and read, but I want you to see that this is talking about that there is a day that Jesus is coming. There's a time coming when Jesus is going to return. And sometimes we think it's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. And there's going to be times of drought, if you will. And there's going to be times of falling away. And it's not talking about falling away from salvation. There's going to be times when things aren't going in that revival type spirit. Just as bad as you may think it possibly can get. Before it gets too bad, Jesus is coming. Now, as we look at the world today, I think every one of us could look and say, how much worse can it get? But I've got news for you. I don't think we've seen anything as to how bad it could possibly be. I don't think we've seen anything as to how terrible it could be. But here's the great thing. Is God's not going to leave us here too long. And just at the right time, just at the right moment, He's coming again. What if it's today? Have we done with our life today what we ought to be doing with our life today? Look, there's going to be people tell you, there are going to be all kinds of people tell you that's foolishness. Don't live like that. Don't think like that. Don't act like that. Don't believe that? The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, and I close with this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, chapter 3, verse 4, and saying, talking about, these are going to be the scoffers of the last days. This is what they're going to say. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. I like this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Why hasn't He returned? But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the day of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. You know what it says? If you really believe He's coming again, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you act. It'll show you what person you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. It'll help you to be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Sometimes we just get going and I think we forget He's coming. He's coming. I think many times we can look at believers' lives and we can, by the life that they live and the testimony they have, we can look and say about their life, they don't think it's today. Because anybody truly knows the Lord and has experienced the grace of God, if they really thought He was coming today, it would affect how we live for the Lord that day. Let's never forget these things. I don't want to be like the tribe of Ephraim, do you? I don't want to have experienced the deliverance of God. Look, He split the Red Sea and I walked over on dry ground. There's two miracles there. First of all, that He split the sea. Secondly, that He made it to where they could walk on it. How many of y'all have ever walked into a river with the water flowing? In the bottom of it, you sink. You get stuck in the mud. You've done that. But the Bible says they walked over on dry ground. The children of Ephraim experienced that. But when the day of battle came, they said, we'll stay here. They turned back in the day of battle, the Bible says. They didn't trust God. But when we trust the Lord and we don't forget these things, you know what we're doing? We're showing this generation the works of God. And then they're going to have children to show, and then they'll show their next generation the works of God. Don't ever forget. Don't forget what God's done in our lives. Don't forget what God did to make eternal life possible. Don't forget that not only did He create us, He redeemed us, and He's coming back to get us. We can't forget these things. But sometimes we just get too busy with life and we fail to remember all that God's done. Tonight, we're going to be partaking the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do it. The reason that He's given it to us to do is so that we'd remember what He's done for us. Let's never forget. Let's never take for granted what we have because of what the Lord Jesus did for us. But let's remember it daily until He comes. This is just one ordinance that He's given to us to remind us. But He's given us His Word so that every day we could remember all that He's done. Let's bow forward to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us. We thank You for Thy blessed Word, the simplicity of it, the truth of it, and the power of it. Lord, tonight I pray that we've been reminded of some things as we think about our life and our days and our moments. Lord, help us to be a people that remember, people that never forget. Never forget that You are the Creator and You created us. Never forget that You died on the cross for our sins. Never forget that You promised You would come and get us. Help us to live each day with these things in remembrance and go forward, following You, Your Word, and Your will for our lives. We'll thank You and praise You for all that's accomplished. This time of invitation, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. What page?
65.
Page 65.